Hi folks, this is Bart from BartBeta.de, back again for part 18 of my Introduction to the Terminus series, here on the Typical Mac User Podcast. This episode I'd like to dive into a final little chunk of a theory segment, but one that I think is quite important in order to understand the commands I want to look at over the next couple of installments. So I just want to start with a quick little recap so we can put this into context. So we started off by saying that, you know, our networking works on a layered-based system, where you have at the bottom, you have layer 1, which deals with getting a single packet of information from one machine to another machine that's connected directly to it. Next up, we had layer 2, which deals with getting one packet of information from one side of the planet to the other side of the planet through the internet, which introduces concepts like routing, routers, IP address, subnet mask, all those kind of things, basically the IP protocol. Now we want to go one step up from that to the layer 3, the transport layer, and here we're not interested in getting a single packet of information from one side of the planet to the other. We're interested in getting a series or a stream of data across the planet in an organized and sensible way. This is going to introduce us to two protocols, and one of which is probably the most important protocol of the internet, the one that glues it all together, the so-called Transmission Control Protocol, or TCP protocol. This protocol is so important that it actually gives its name to the whole model we're talking about. It's the TCP/IP model. So the IP we had already met in layer 2 is the internet protocol, our IP addresses, all that kind of stuff. And this is now the layer 3 one, the other really important protocol, transmission control protocols. The two together are the core of the internet, TCP/IP. Before going on, I think I should describe the problems that TCP is trying to solve. So when you send packets, you would think, you know, layer 2 allows us to get a single packet from one part of the world, you know, from one machine to another machine. So surely if you want to send lots of packets, you just, you know, do that lots of times and that'll that. I mean, you know, there's hardly much work going on here. I mean, what does TCP have to do? Well, actually, TCP is here to solve three problems. And there's the three things that can go wrong when you transmit packets. So probably the most low-level one is that a packet can simply get corrupted. You turn on your microwave and your Wi-Fi transmission goes completely awry oftentimes because the noise simply interferes with the signal and what comes out the other end is not what was put in the front end. This is detected because of basically error correction codes. So a packet on its end has a little error correction calculation, and if something happens, then the error correction calculation won't add up anymore at the end, and then you know there's been an error and the packet is quite simply discarded. That's it, gone. The other thing that can happen is that if any router between the two points that are communicating, if it's too busy, it will simply discard packets. You know, if the queue fills up, the router just can't deal with it, the router simply throws out a bunch of packets and then it can deal with it again. So there's absolutely no guarantee that every packet you send will get to the other end. It could be dropped at any point. Finally, since each packet fights its own way across the internet, each packet is considered independent. Routers don't understand that these packets are related to each other. Routers just care about this packet's going here, this packet's going there, this packet's going here, because routers operate at the IP level, and at the IP level there's no concept of a relationship between packets. The IP layer simply deals with getting packets from A to B. So one packet could go one way, another packet could go another way, and by the time you get to the end point, what you sent off as packets 1, 2, 3, and 4 could arrive as packets 2, 3, 1, 4. I mean, they could arrive in any order at all. And that obviously wouldn't work, because that would literally end up shuffling your data as it went across the internet, which would make it utterly useless. So we need something like TCP to deal with all three of those problems. And that's literally exactly what TCP does. Now, if this were a computer science course, we would now spend the next 3 or 4 weeks talking about exactly how TCP/IP does this. Thankfully, for you, this is a podcast and you don't have to suffer through that. I did as part of my degree, but I'm not going to go into it here. So what we need, the message we need to take away is that TCP makes some promises to us, and how it achieves those promises we're not going to look at. But TCP promises that all information will get from one end to the other. So if packets get lost along the way, TCP detects this and simply resends the missing bits. If packets go out of order, TCP will reassemble them in the right order on the other end. So TCP promises that everything will get there and that it will get there in the right order. And that's very important because that basically allows the internet to actually work. As well as allowing the internet to work, TCP also introduces another layer of abstraction, a layer we haven't looked at yet. We've talked about IP addresses, we've talked about netmask, we've talked about subnets. What we haven't mentioned are port numbers, because port numbers don't exist in layer 2. Port numbers are an invention of layer 3 and of TCP in particular. So, the way you can think of port numbers is that every machine is a big apartment block, and that every individual room within the apartment block, it's a separate port. And when two programs want to communicate, they need to specify not just which building they're trying to talk between, but also which room or which port number within the building. Maybe you could think of it as being an extension number within your corporation or something like that. But for a TCP connection, you need to have a source port, a source IP address, a destination port, and a destination IP address. They're the ingredients. Another very important factor is this concept of listening. So a program can tell the operating system that it is listening on a TCP IP port. And what that means is that whenever the operating system gets traffic to that port, it passes it to the listening program. So the program, SSHD, or the Secure Shell Daemon, listens on port 22. So if you try to connect to a computer on port 22, the target computer takes that incoming message and passes it in to the SSHD program, which then starts talking away and you set up a connection, hopefully. Web servers listen on port 80. SMTP servers listen on port 25. I could go on. Basically, the client server model of the internet is all based around TCP ports and listening. So what's really happening under the hood when you say browse to a web page is that Safari or Firefox or Internet Explorer, whatever you happen to be using, it creates a TCP connection from some random port on your machine to the web server's port on the web server, which is usually port 80. And then they communicate over that connection, as it's called, and then the connection's broken down. And then you got another web page, and a new connection is fired up to that web server from some other random port on your machine to port 80 on that web server, and so on and so forth. So there's always two ends to a connection, two port numbers. There's the concept, which is important, of a privileged port. Any port number below 1024 is considered to be a privileged port, and on a Unix system, that means that you have to be the root user to be allowed to listen on that port. And on a Windows system, I guess it means you have to be system or admin to be able to take ownership of that port number. Which is why when your web browser connects to something, your web browser will pick what's called a high port or an unprivileged port, as in a port number above 1024, to connect out. And you know, these are random, these high ports, and it's just different ones taken every time. You know, the browser literally says to the operating system, give me some port, any port, I don't care. And you know, that's how the connection is made. The reason I'm saying this is that when we look at the actual connection on your machine, you're going to notice this pattern that the port on your end is pretty much always a high port because it's just some random port being given out by the operating system to connect to a known port on the server. Given everything I've said so far, you'd be forgiven for thinking that, you know, TCP is the absolute bee's knees, the cat's meow, the, you know, whatever your favourite superlative is, it's the absolute best thing. And it obviously has no drawbacks at all because it's obviously brilliant. Unfortunately, we live in a world of trade-offs. And the trade-off for all of this great reliability and the fact that you know everything you put in is going to get out the other end and you know it's going to get out in the right order is that there's overhead involved. There's actually a two-way stream of communication involved to do a TCP connection because the receiving end is constantly acknowledging, yeah, got that, got that, got that, got that, missing this, got that, missing this. There's a constant over and back flow of traffic. So there's a lot more network traffic than there is actual data transmitted. You know, it takes more bits to get 80 megabytes across than 80 megabytes worth of bits because of all this flow of control. There's also buffers need to be kept on both ends because since you don't know whether or not a packet has arrived until you get an acknowledgement from the other end, you have to keep in memory all of the different packets that you haven't had acknowledged back yet in case you have to resend it. You have to keep stuff in memory until you have all the bits to put it in the right order and spit it out on the other side. All of this involves CPU use, so TCP connections are a little slow. There's overhead involved. They are not as absolutely snappy as they could be. There's a waste, well, not necessarily a wastage, but an overhead in network bandwidth and overhead in resources on both ends. So if you want to do something that's absolutely mission critical in terms of getting information across quickly, but you don't care if the occasional bit goes missing along the way, TCP is obviously not the right answer. And it's because of this that another protocol has been added, or that was invented for Layer 3, called UDP. And UDP has limited uses, but one very important use we use all the time is streaming. If you're, you know, something like Skype, what matters is that the information gets across quickly and efficiently. It doesn't really matter if the occasional bit gets missing, it's just a little bit of interference on your end. You want the stuff over very quickly. So if you're on a Skype call, you'll see things like dropped packets. That's simply where stuff goes missing along the way, and UDP will notice it's gone missing, but it's not going to do anything about it. It's not going to ask for those packets back. You'll also see if you put Skype into debug mode something called jitter, which is how often the packets arrive in the wrong order. And Skype just absorbs all of this, and it knows it's not going to get perfectly clean data from the network, but it doesn't care. It just wants the data as quick as possible. So that's where UDP comes in. Okay, so today, so far, we've covered the concept of what TCP does. We've covered the concept of port numbers, and we've mentioned UDP and why you would use it, even though it's technically highly inferior in terms of the service it delivers. It does deliver it way more quickly, and that's often more important. So I want to end with a command, because it would be terrible to go through an entire terminal series episode and not actually give you something practical to do in your terminal. So the command I'm going to give you, and this is a very powerful command that we're going to revisit again in more detail, but for now I'm just going to give you the command without too much humming and hawing about it and let you at it. So the command is lsof, and in particular we're interested in the flag minus I. So lsof space minus I. And when you run that, you will see a lot of detail, and what you will see fly by you is every TCP or UDP connection that your machine currently has open. You should notice high ports on your end, low ports on the other end. Any port that OS X knows what it means won't be listed as a number. It will actually be listed as colon and then the name. So you might see colon web or colon HTTP, that kind of thing. But that's just a full, unfiltered list of everything your machine's doing on the network at the moment. It may surprise you how much is open at any one time, because there's background processes using the network. If you're running something like Dropbox, you're going to have a whole bunch of connections to make Dropbox work. MobileMe is going to have a whole bunch of connections. So you may be very surprised by just how much is going on in your network, even when you're doing absolutely nothing that you think is network related. We're going to look in much more detail at LSOF minus I, and in fact at LSOF without the minus I flag. By the way, the minus I flag means internet, because LSOF stands for list open files, and it's just the case that OS X and Unix operating systems in general consider everything to be a file. So a network connection is just a file, in inverted commas, in OS X's brain. So hence it's list open files minus I saying internet files, or network connections. As I say, we're going to revisit all this in more detail, but I just want to give you something, because it would be a real crime not to give you an actual command. Anyway, until next time, happy computing.